Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Gus Christensen. And Gus is leading an effort to get the IDC back into the mainstream Democrat fold in the state Senate. And there's been a lot of developments lately. So, Gus, what's going on?
Hey, Cynthia. Thank you for having me on again. I always enjoy doing your show. One thing I want to say up front about what you just said. You said I was leading an effort to get the IDC members back into the mainline fold, and that's actually what we're trying to do is a little bit different. We don't believe that the IDC members should be welcomed back into the mainline Democratic fold, so we're trying to beat them all in primaries this year and get them out of public office. We don't think that they are worthy representatives for the people of New York.
I think that Jeff Klein has given you a head start. So what's going on?
So this past week we had some interesting news, I think brought on by the larger national and even global movement, the hashtag MeToo movement that's going on now of exposing sexual assaulters and harassers and all forms of workplace sexual misconduct ever since the eruptions over Harvey Weinstein last fall and the ongoing spread of women who've been silent for many years over workplace harassment issues, feeling more empowered to come forward. So a woman by the name of Erica Vladimir, who was a staffer for Jeff Klein in the IDC a few years ago, came forward this week with a very detailed and we think quite believable and quite supportable story of a kind of forcible, unwanted kiss and assault from Jeff Klein in 2015. This is something that she had been foreshadowing on social media for some months without naming names. And then she spoke to a reporter for the Huffington Post a week or so ago and brought the story forward. The reporter for the Huffington Post corroborated it with witnesses from the time. And the story was published earlier this week. Jeff Klein and the IDC came out with a full court defensive press in response. And I want to focus on that for a second because I think that that's something that has attracted a lot of negative attention, because what Jeff Klein and the IDC have done in response is kind of a pre-2017, very retrograde response that's offensive to a lot of people and especially a lot of feminists and a lot of women. So what Jeff Klein and the IDC have done since the allegations surfaced is they've accused the woman of being a drunk. They've called her a liar. They've said that it couldn't happen the way she said it. And then here's something that is kind of most disturbing to a lot of people. They have claimed that because the historical facts on this are facts, about a month after the alleged incident occurred, Erica Vladimir left the employ of his office and moved to a different job. And apparently at the time she left, she sent an email to the office thanking them for a great experience working there and praising Jeff Klein as a good boss. And Jeff Klein and the IDC now are holding that out as evidence that she obviously made this up, that this never could have occurred, because if this occurred, why would she have praised her boss after the fact? And that's the big thing. That's very offensive to people who follow this stuff because, and I'm sorry, Cynthia, just to finish this thought, that's very offensive to people who follow this stuff, because the actual very common response and typical response of victims to their assaulters, especially when their assaulters are in positions of power over them who can dictate their economic future, the response is very commonly one of the victim blaming themselves, of the victim praising their accuser because they still need job recommendations and referrals. Their economic future is dependent upon this accuser, upon their assaulter. So for the assaulter to come back and say, well, obviously I didn't do this because she praised me afterwards, is actually deeply retrograde and deeply offensive. And whatever exactly happened that night and whether it can ever be proven to the satisfaction of Jeff Klein's defenders, who are legion from the governor on down, it is their response to these allegations that is extremely, extremely retrograde and anti-feminist and does not belong in 2018.
Okay, my question to you is, this happened on Lark Street in Albany. From what I've read and heard so far, nobody else has come forward and saying, yes, this has happened. So it's a question of he said, she said. And do you think that Jeff Klein would be so bold to do this right in front of Diane Savino?
Well, look, I haven't been to this specific bar, and I certainly wasn't there on that night. I haven't spent a lot of time in bars in Albany in my life. Apparently, that makes me very different from the average New York State legislator who does spend a lot of time in bars in Albany. But I can tell you whether I've been in this bar or not. I have been in bars after midnight in my life, and when people are drinking and when people are celebrating, a lot of things can happen. And no, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest that someone might plant a very aggressive and very messy kiss upon someone other than their significant other while standing outside a bar having a cigarette after midnight while drinking. This is relatively common human behavior. I think we can all imagine that. The problem here is not just that it's common human behavior. The problem is that it's a boss and a subordinate, and that it's a boss and a subordinate, an extremely powerful boss, and in an extreme position of power over the economic future of the subordinate, social and career and economic future of the subordinate. And then the manner in which the boss and his protective organization attempt to smear the victim after the fact and trot out a whole host of retrograde 1950s-style tropes of, well, you know, if she didn't fight and she didn't complain, to me immediately afterwards, then it must have been fine. And that's just not the way we know that life should be lived today.
Okay, one other question. Both you and I and many of the listeners know that Jeff Klein is not a wallflower. He's a very aggressive person. So since this came out a few days ago, if he is as aggressive as she portrays him to be, then maybe he has exhibited to other women, but these other people have not stepped up to the plate yet and say, yes, me too.
Well, look, I can't claim to know that. You know, like I said, I don't spend a lot of time in bars in Albany myself, so I can't claim to witness this. And that's a roundabout way of saying I'm not actually a legislator myself, and I've never been a staffer, so I'm not part of that Albany culture. So I can't claim to know what the whisper networks do or don't say about Jeff Klein. I'm sure that there is a very active whisper network, because I'm sure that out of 150 assembly members and 63 state senators, that there are numerous grabbers and gropers and assaulters. We've actually seen many of them from Vito Lopez on down erupting in over the past several years. So I'm sure there are whisper networks, and I don't know what they do have to say about Jeff Klein. I do not know whether anyone else will come forward. And whether anyone else does or doesn't come forward, you know, isn't definitive proof, or even, you know, any scrap of proof as to whether he has engaged in a pattern of this kind of behavior or not. You know, Jeff Klein is a very powerful person, and even more so, he is protected by even more powerful forces of the governor himself and of the Republican majority in the state Senate. And there would be a tremendous amount of fear for anyone who was a political staffer in Albany in that environment to come forward against Jeff Klein. It's career suicide. That's why we applaud the bravery of Erica Vladimir in willing to come forward, because, you know, Jeff Klein, the IDC, their Republican bosses, and even the governor himself are going to make clear to people who come forward that they're never going to work in this town again. So yeah, there's a heavy price to pay for coming forward. So if no one else comes forward, that doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
Okay, so you've been quite busy the last few days. What have you been up to?
So we, and I should say here very clearly that it's not me. I know that we talk regularly, Cynthia and go through updates on the IDC. But in this particular initiative, especially of fighting back to Jeff Klein and the IDC on the sexual harassment, I'm not in the lead on this. There are many, many female leaders in our movement, Heather Stewart in Empire State Indivisible, Lisa DeLacqua, Mia Perlman, Susan Martin, Judith Hertzberg, everyone at True Blue New York, Susan Kang, my colleague at NOIDC. And it's really them, the women leaders of our movement, who have been most active in what I'm about to say. So yesterday, on Friday, we had a great press conference on the City Hall steps in New York. All of those women spoke. A number of other women spoke. Some female candidates for IDC seats, Jessica Ramos, for example, spoke. So women have really been taking the lead on this, on responding to Jeff Klein and standing up for other women. And one more point I'd like to make there is the slate of candidates who are running against these fake Democrat IDC incumbents, as the slate is coming out, we're looking at a slate that may be more than half women, which is a strong goal of ours. So there's Jessica Ramos running against Jose Peralta in Queens, Alessandra Biaggi running against Jeff Klein himself in the Bronx and Westchester. There is Rachel May running against David Valesky up in the Syracuse area. A young woman named Jasmine Robinson is considering a run against Diane Savino right now. And so we have a rising tide of young and strong female candidates, and we think it's important that they replace some of these dinosaurs in the IDC, specifically Jeff Klein. You know, Alessandra Biaggi is a strong young woman, a staffer, a former staffer for Governor Cuomo, and a senior staffer on the Hillary Clinton for President campaign. She's a lawyer, an activist, and is going to make a much better state senator for the people of Westchester and the Bronx than Jeff Klein does.
Now, you and I have agreed that as this drama unfolds, you'll come back on Focus on Albany. So let me ask you this question. Do you think this is going to be solved quickly, or do you think it's going to be a drama that's going to last the whole session?
I think all of this is going to drag out for a long time. Look, if Jeff Klein had any shame, he would resign now. But it's clear that he has no shame. The thing about sexual harassment and assault eruptions against incumbent elected officials is that these kinds of situations really only lead to the elected officials resigning if they have any sense of shame. So if you look at If you look at Washington, if you look at Congress over the last few months, numerous Democratic elected officials, from Al Franken to John Conyers, et cetera, have resigned their seats in the House and Senate because of charges like this being credibly leveled against them. And they resign relatively quickly because they can be shamed, because when people demand that they resign in shame, they feel shame and they resign. When you look over to the other side of the aisle and you look at Republicans in Congress, by and large, they don't resign. You look at somebody like Blake Farenthold in Texas, who's done terrible, terrible things to women. And they don't resign because they're essentially invulnerable to shame. And the thing about the IDC is that they're really Republicans. So they have that Republican invulnerability to shame. So even with these charges, hopefully and presumably being proven more firmly in the future, I don't believe that Jeff Klein will resign. I think he's impervious to shame. And I think, you know, and the last point I'll make on this is that there is no good investigative capability in Albany. Flanagan, the Republican majority leader of the state Senate, has already declared this past week that the state Senate will not investigate these charges. Andrew Cuomo has called for some kind of investigation with no details. Jeff Klein and the IDC have even said that he's willing to be investigated by JCOPE. And this isn't really what JCOPE is supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be investigating financial improprieties and ethics violations of that nature. But I have a feeling that it's going to be a JCOPE investigation. JCOPE is controlled by the governor and the Senate and the assembly leadership. And at least two out of three of those bodies support Jeff Klein. And so I don't think that anyone has any expectation that there'll be a particularly fair investigation here. But I don't think Jeff Klein is vulnerable to shame. So I don't think that he's going to resign anytime soon, even though he should. So I do think that this will drag on. And I think that the answer is going to come in September of 2018 when primary challengers beat these IDC members and Jeff Klein, especially at the ballot box.
So if it drags on until September, you and I will be doing many updates on this.
Many. I look forward to it greatly.
So, you know, you wanted to keep it short. So in the final minutes, do you have any closing remarks you'd like to make?
Look, I think that this is an area of the news that's only going to get more interesting in coming weeks. The legislative session in Albany is just starting. We'll have budget negotiations heating up in a couple of weeks. We've got a lot of primary challengers who are in the process of launching their campaigns against IDC members. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of interesting news. We'll see financial disclosure filings next week. You know, yesterday was the semi-annual cutoff date for disclosure of financial contributions, and that information will all become public next week for the IDC members, for all senators and New York State elected officials, and for their challengers. And so there's going to be a lot of news. We'll have a lot to talk about.
Okay, great, Gus. Thank you. Thank you for being on Focus on Albany. And I'm so glad that you'll be back, and we'll have plenty to talk about from here till September. So you've been listening to Gus Christensen. What is the name of your organization? And if they
know
want,
I,
and yeah, go on.
Sure, yeah. Thank you, Cynthia. It's noidcny, noidcny.org. You can find us online, find us on Facebook, and hope to get you involved in the movement.
Okay, thanks. So we'll talk again. So if you like the show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download a new smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment or criticism about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. Thanks, Gus. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.